Today great. Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
Great day for another Jolt of Joe. Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? It's officially National Coffee Day, so we need an extra cup of coffee, don't we? Another early start for sure. We're brewing up the cultural takes on the cacophony out there. Unfortunately, devastation of Maria is still going strong down in Puerto Rico. Hearts and prayers and help for those folks. Well, President Trump wrapping himself in the flag. Distractions, distractions, distractions. We'll talk about the failed, yet again, healthcare plan. The tax plan, is it really a cure for the middle class? The miracle that he calls it, or not so much? And how's that draining the swamp thing working for you? From Price to Pruitt, boy, are those secretaries wasting the taxpayers' money. We'll take it all in. Also, the big question, a new feature. We're going to pose a question that might affect your life and see how you answer it. We'll talk. Inspiration to action, Sean, success stories as well, and some great music to wrap it all up in, including your Forgotten 45. So let's get going. If you're listening live, as we said, an early start on Friday, September 29th. Where has the month gone? It's, get this, 6 a.m. out west, 8 a.m. central, and 9 a.m. here in the east. We need that extra jolt of Joe for sure. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. The Twitter Tango, 24/7, as you well know, live or on podcast. Chime in at when it works for you at AB Writes. And the TCS crew, boy, they're raring to go. Trudy in and Aurora both in the booth. They have the Facebook page and the PopNet chat box open, so please have at us the way it works for you if you'd like to do the interactive thing. You've got an early call. The schedule, kids, the schedule here is just crazy, so this is when I can do it when I can, because you asked for it, right? Yeah, I know you did. I mean, I'm pointing at you. You can see me, right? You can't see me, but I can see you. That's how it works in radio, in the old days anyway. Now everybody has video, so it's a different deal altogether. Anyway, the show today is brought to you in part by Old Navy. It's finally time to fall in for great savings and fashions at Old Navy, and also by Geico. 15 minutes or less could save you 15% or more in your car insurance. Details at geico.com, and our friends at PopNet. It's arts, culture, and conversation on air, online. PopNet features select editions of the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, as well as those robust roundtables. So we had a blowout blitz yesterday on all things, well, you know, if you listened. And if you don't know, you can imagine. If you didn't hear it, you can imagine. Anyway, never mind. All right, you ready to go? Get yourself. Boy, I need that extra jolt of Joe. Welcome aboard. It is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. To me, I know that feeling. The hidden gem from Ari Heiss for Quinn. Thanks for chiming in on the Amy Beth Arquie Show and Blondie, of course, and Maria. The wake of Maria's devastation in Puerto Rico is unimaginable. Wow, those people are still suffering so much. Relief is there. It's on its way, but there was a hitch in getting all the goods that people needed because they were just stopped there at the port. They do have a three-star general down there coordinating things now, and hopefully relief will get to all the people in a very desperately timely fashion. I mean, now they're trying to get people off who are evacuate people who are sick, etc. It's a very horrible, devastating scene down there. So our hearts, our prayers, lots of relief efforts. We'll post a bunch of things for you. You've got to be careful where you're donating goods and things. Everybody means well, but sometimes things don't get translated. But hopefully that glitch is going to be all taken care of. Of course, President Trump, as we know, jumps the gun, and he's congratulating himself on a job well done before it is really even gotten started. I don't know where to begin with this guy. I mean, we're talking toddler mentality. We're talking I've got to be praised to the hilt no matter what goes on. It's me first. It's a narcissistic trait. It has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat or policies. The man doesn't have it in him. He tried his best, I guess, did fairly well during Irma and Harvey, although a lot of it was about me and the crowds he was attracting or the captivated audience that he had with people that were just there, because he just doesn't have it. I mean, again, George W. Bush had it. He made a lot of mistakes. You know, I wasn't a fan of his. Don't think he was a great president, but the man had a strain of humanity that is just missing here with Donald Trump. So you got to say, it's just the reality. It's missing. That's it. What can I tell you? Hey, weigh in. Love to hear from you. It's a Twitter feed deal at AB Writes. The phone line, if you happen to be listening live on Friday, September 29th, early start, 347-857-4505. We also have the pop in the chat box and the Facebook page open. The TCS crew has been raring to go. The deal with me, as we know, is a sporadic schedule. We're hoping to get back on track in the fall, but personally, just so many things going on, and professionally, they're colliding. So we're working on it. Got a couple of things going on with some other radio networks, so time is precious there. Got a personal deal going with settling an estate and selling a house, which is over here. So there's all kinds of issues going on that just have to be taken care of, and we're doing the best we can. And when I say we, I mean, you know, me and the TCS crew, because I don't talk like Elmo and Bob Dole in the in the royal we sense. But anyhow, I'd love to hear from you and appreciate all the kind words and feedback and nudges to get me back in the game here, because I'm here. I'm always in the game, as you know if you visit me on social media. I'm always checking and working with you and in various outlets. But the show is a little sporadic. Producer Trudy Hart is nudging me big time to get on a regular schedule here, and I'm going to do it as soon as we can. But in the meantime, we have what we have. So let's enjoy it while we can. And I do want to mention, we talked about it briefly last time we were together in this venue, the passing of Troy Gentry, who was part of the country duo Montgomery Gentry, died tragically in that helicopter crash in New Jersey a couple of weeks ago, only 50 years old. They were just set to release their new album at the end of this month, I believe. Eddie Montgomery, his partner in all things country grime, great duo, great voices these guys had, just spoke just the other day and said how upside down their world is and how heartbroken he is, this man who he has worked with in one way or another for over 30 years. So tremendous loss to his family, of course, and to the country music community. They did some great songs. This is one of my favorites, Montgomery Gentry, a few years back. It's called Some People Change, remembering Troy Gentry on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show.
Give me an amen.
Was a rabble yeller, bad boy to the bone, he'd say. Can't trust that other feller, he'd judge him by the tone of their skin. He was raised to think like his dad, narrow mind full of hate. On the road to nowhere fast, till the grace of God got in the way. Then he saw the light, hit his knees and cried and said a prayer. Rose up a brand new man, left the old one right there.
Cheers to the strong, thanks to the brave. Don't give up hope. Some people change against all odds, against the grain. Love finds a way. Some people change.
She was born with her mother's habits. You could say it's in her blood. She hates that she's got a habit. As she fills her glass up, she'd love to chill that bottle, but all she can think about is a better life, a second chance, and everyone she's letting down.
She throws that bottle down. Thank you.
Now you be warm and dry, things won't fall on you from the sky.
On the Amy Beth Arquie Show for Sandy. It is officially autumn, and it's starting to feel like it around here, too. A pair from a couple of country legends we lost not too long ago, the great Glenn Campbell and Country Boy, and Troy Gentry from Montgomery Gentry, and Some People Change. Sad, sad news there, but great music they all have left behind for us. It is the Amy Beth Arquie Show. Love to hear from you via Twitter at AB Writes. That's 24/7. If you're listening live on Friday, September 29th, you can use the old tin cans and a string deal and call us on the studio line, 347-857-4505. Facebook page and the pop in the chat box is open. And Dom, who is rapidly becoming a hearty regular, chiming in there, says, "Hey, listening live, love your style, lady. You're so right. Trump can stick it." Love it, Dom. Prayers and peace to the people in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. Question is Trump sticking it to us when it comes to the new tax plan? What's going on there? And, of course, the devil will be in the details. They never quite work those out. It's all done on a napkin and a pen in the middle of the night, it seems. They got some basic ideas. Some people are calling it, well, in fact, the president is calling it a middle-class miracle. He's going to reshape everything for the middle class. But most folks who break it down say, not so much. It may help some people a little bit, but most of the people who will benefit will be the top 1%ers, including Donald Trump, who says, this isn't going to help me. Believe me. Whenever he adds that, believe me, it's the opposite. I'm not sure. I mean, we don't know yet because the details are still out there to be had, but it's looking murky. And Tom on Facebook says the first thing you need to understand about the Trump Republican tax plan is they're lying about it. Well, okay, I don't know. Again, I don't know what's what because we don't have all the details, but it seems murky. And I think it was interesting that Gary Cohn, who's one of his financial gurus, came out yesterday and said, first of all, addressing whether the president would benefit, he kind of dodged and weaved and said, I don't think people care about that so much. They just care about their own situation. And then he also, they said, well, or is it possible that some middle-class people will actually wind up paying more taxes? And he said, well, I can't guarantee anything because there's always an exception to every rule, and maybe somebody out there might wind up paying more or the same. So it needs to be worked out, and I don't think they have a handle on the details, which is the problem. I mean, that's the nitty-gritty of all of this, right? The devil is always in those details. And that happened with the health care plan, too, which put a kibosh on. Everything sounds great if you spin it a certain way, but then when you get down to it and see how many people will be affected negatively, it's like, no, not so much. So that's where we're at. And that, by the way, went down. Trump, you know, was spinning and weaving about that, too, and says, well, we'll come back and we'll have the votes in February or March, which seems unlikely. They keep trying. They're trying to drain the life out of Obamacare, which all its ills, and it does have ills. And as somebody who's paying increasing premiums, I get it. But to offer something that's a fix that isn't really a fix, that makes it worse and hurts more people, no, that's not the answer. The answer is to go back to the drawing board as they were doing before this last-ditch effort, which, by the way, Lindsey Graham, who's a Republican who I sometimes support in the sense at least thinking he's got integrity and a backbone, actually came out. He was part of this Graham-Cassidy bill. His name was on it, and said, well, I didn't really know what was in it. I just thought everybody else did. I mean, this is what I'm saying. It's a very haphazard approach to governing that these people have all adopted. We'll deal with the details later. Well, that's not the point. You can't. Now is the time to deal with the details. The Republicans have been punting for 7-8 years on the thrill of just repeal and replace. They were big on repeal. They didn't know what the heck to replace it with because I think their heart isn't in it, frankly. They don't think we should bother with having health insurance for everybody. That's the point. And they want to let it just, you know, die and spiral out of control. And that's just not the way to do it when you're dealing with people's lives. But before they had this last-ditch effort, there was a bipartisan fix in the mix with Lamar Alexander, a Republican, and Patty Murray, a Democrat, to work on it. And guess what? They're starting to get back together with that committee to start to make the fixes needed to increase, bolster, improve the Affordable Care Act so that it actually works for more people and does what it needs to be done to fix it and make it better, because that's the point. Put whatever name you want on it. I don't think President Obama would care if you take his name off of it. The point is, make it better, and then we can talk about repealing and replacing, or just reforming, increasing, improving. That's the whole point. That's what people care about at the core, regardless of who you voted for, I think. Because remember, Donald Trump promised the moon. Beautiful, great, less expensive, and better. More better, less expensive, not so much. Speaking of more, what about this guy Roy Moore, who is the former twice ousted, I think, Supreme Court judge from Alabama, who became now the Republican nominee for Senate to replace the old Jeff Sessions seat. And, you know, generally Alabama is a safe Republican seat, so of course it's figured that he'll win, but he's such a fright winger. I mean, he believes in things that even the staunchest Republicans don't believe anymore, like homosexuality is a sin, that, you know, 9/11 was inflicted upon us because God was hell-bent on correcting our perversity, that Muslims shouldn't serve in Congress. I mean, you name it, this guy has got some weird ideas that are really out there, way out there for the fringe, and yet he probably will win. And, of course, President Trump actually backed Luther Strange, interesting name, who was the seat holder who took over, appointed by the governor after sort of being kind of bribed into it because there's a big investigation going down there. I think we talked about that a little bit, too, in Alabama. But that was Mitch McConnell's establishment pick. Trump backed him, and Bannon and Palin and, you know, the ultra right wingers backed Moore. So people are saying it's Bannon won since he disasted Trump zero, so Trump's not happy with that. But, of course, Trump is spinning it. He deleted a lot of his Luther Strange tweets and is now saying, oh, Moore's a good guy. Moore's a good guy. I don't know him, but he's a good guy. Oh, dear. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. So what's your take on this whole tax deal? Weigh in. Twitter feed, AB Wright's phone line is 347-857-4505. Some people say, when it's all said and done, somebody's going to have to buy me some lunch.
Can't buy me love. Everybody wants my dough. Can't buy me love. No, no, no. No, buy me turkey club, my friend, with a side of Buckle up, kid. It's about to get a lot weirder.
Well, good
and gentlemen, I'm Hillary Rodham Clinton. Thank you. Now, due to a last-minute October surprise, I did not win the election, which is a pain since I had already moved my stuff into the White House. in hindsight, I should have visited the Rust Belt states more often, and let's face it, it was a mistake not to make one campaign stop in Moscow. But seriously, America, another white, rich guy instead of a woman? Do you know the last 44 and a half presidents have all been white men? At first, I was amazed. I was stupefied. Kept thinking I can never live if once again denied. So I showed my poison smarts out there on the campaign trail. One small detail, I wasn't blessed with being male. So now Trump's in. What a disgrace. So I got 3 million more votes than him in the White House race. For 8 years I waited my turn to finally be named your queen. But my firewall of states fell to that talking tangerine. Do you think I go say that I'm done? And I'll pimp slap the next person who said Bernie would have won. My ambition's still alive. You know that I am in too deep. And when Chelsea wins in 2020, she will name me as her VP. And on that day, I'll make the case that collusion with the Russians helped my Chelsea win the race. With the White House in my reach, my own daughter I'll impeach. I will survive. I will survive.
Just
great Gene Knight for Dondi on the Amy Beth Arguey Show and Not So Forgotten 45, because somehow that song and Donald Trump are connected, right? Did I ruin it for you? I'm sorry. Also, the Cap Steps having some fun with Hillary Clinton back on the book tour trail. What happened, huh? She's getting all kinds of attention. I think she loves it now because, listen, there's a taint again over Donald Trump, but she doesn't have to deal with any of the hard stuff. She can just go out and comment on it. But for the rest of us, we're like saying, geez, if only, right? Never mind. Let's not go there. Well, we're there already. I mean, go there. We've been there. We've been there for months. We've been there for almost a year now. Ouch. And what else do we hear? Oh, yeah, the great Brewer and Shipley classic, Oh, Mommy, I Ain't No Commie. That one, boy, Trudy had to rerun the archives for that one. Loves doing that, by the way. That one for Artemis and Sim. Hey, guys, thanks for chiming in. Appreciate us having to dig deep for that classic early 70s Dick Nature Richard Nixon song. But that revolution thing, it's kind of reverberating now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. More things change and all that stuff. Also, the Beatles, Run for Your Life, and the TCS crew having some fun with Can't Buy Me Lunch, the tax plan, and all of that stuff. Speaking of things the same as they never were, Will and Grace are back, the great NBC must-see TV show back on Thursday nights. Made its debut after 11 years yesterday, and they got some pretty serious Dorian Gray portraits in the attic, these folks. It looked the same. And the show, seamless, very timely, did a lot of Trump jokes. Don't want to give it away. If you haven't seen it yet, it's available on streaming and demand and all that good stuff that we now have 11 years later. So go watch it if you're so inclined, if you're a fan. Some intriguing pot shots indeed were taken. But they have that energy and that chemistry. It's still there. It's funny because the Megyn Kelly Today Show, daytime show, also debuted earlier this week. I don't know if anybody saw it or heard about it. I did see a couple of snippets. I saw actually the Will and Grace feature, which was the debut show, I think, on Monday. The whole cast was there, and there was one awkward moment. Much has been made of this moment, including by Deborah Messing, who, you know, I love Deborah Messing, and she was a staunch Hillary person. She had a Twitter feud that's now infamous with Susan Sarandon, who was a Bernie or Buster. And boy, oh boy, how is that working for you, Susan? Anyway, but sometimes you go too far. And her comment was, after this little awkward exchange with a hardcore Will and Grace fan who came up from the audience and said that he was excited because he loved Will. Will was a lawyer, and he was gay and lived in New York City. And Megyn Kelly made some kind of a stupid joke. It was a joke, though. It was obvious it was a joke, that the lawyer thing isn't going to work out too much, but the gay thing and the Will and Grace thing will work out. She was trying to make – it was trying to be funny. She's a lawyer. It was a joke. It fell flat, and I guess there was some backlash on social media, and Deborah Messing got into it by saying, yeah, I'm dismayed by her comments, and I regret going on. And then supposedly there's a backlash to the backlash, where allegedly NBC execs, because, again, both shows are on NBC, told Deborah, you better cool it. Lay off Megyn Kelly. Deborah's folks said nobody reached out. Everybody's fine. But you know what? It was a joke. It was stupid. It was lame, but I don't think she meant anything by it in a negative way. And sometimes people make too much of things. This is the problem with social media. Everything gets whipped up into a fervor when some things should just die a natural death and let it go. The other thing I guess happened, I didn't see this live, but I saw it online, was, boy, she had gotten heavy-hitting guests early on in the show's first week. She had Robert Redford and Jane Fonda, who are apparently in a new movie together, and at one point she asked Jane Fonda about her plastic surgery and said, a lot of people want to know how you look so good, and Jane Fonda clearly miffed, because I saw the tape, said, really, we're going to talk about that now, and she just said that she looks good because of good eating, exercise, and posture, and attitude, whatever. And then people online were making a big deal about that, too. And you know what I'm saying? I'm not a huge Megyn Kelly fan. I also don't detest her just because she happened to work on Fox, and yes, she might have said some outlandish things there. I don't know. I didn't watch it then. Very often. And I don't know if she's going to survive and do well in daytime TV. There are all kinds of people speculating about that. I don't know. I haven't given it all that much thought. But give her a break. Let her do her show. Let her do her job. I mean, obviously you're on this national stage and there's a lot of heat on you and people will watch and criticize, and that's fine too. But sometimes it's much to do about nothing. At least that's my opinion. The other thing in the TV news that was intriguing in the last few weeks, apparently Jedediah Bela, who was a much lesser-known talent, was on The View for a while, and she was the so-called conservative voice, and did a decent job, I thought. No special talent, no particular reason why she was there, in my opinion, but whatever. You're there, you get the job, do the best you can, and she had some insights that were I didn't always agree with, but she articulated them pretty well, from what I could see, again, not watching it every single day. Apparently, when Hillary Clinton came on The View, again, pushing the book, and I didn't see this, I guess they were told ahead of time, she was told to cool it with the questions, don't be so hard on her, because they wanted Hillary Clinton to come back again. So what did she do? Apparently she asked some kind of a question about Clinton being tone deaf to even other Democrats who wanted her kind of to go away and not write the book, or whatever she said in the book. And I think Hillary answered it by saying, well, they should just read the book or not read the book. And then she was quickly exited the show, claiming she's going off to write a book. And it appears Meghan McCain will be joining The View next month as a conservative voice. Oh, goody. But I don't know. What's your take on that? I mean, again, we have freedom of speech in this country, but we don't have a guarantee of a job. So you can say what you want to say, but yes, you can get axed from a radio or a TV gig if your employer deems it so. And that can happen regardless of what you say or don't say. And, you know, I've been hired so many times, not so many times, but a few times from radio jobs, and I don't think I was ever fired because of my own performance. And that kind of bothered me. It's like, not that I want to be fired if I said something, I wanted to say something that would offend. And I did say things that offended, I'm sure, on a couple of occasions, different individual people, but not in the massive way that it was racist or horrific. But anybody could be offended at anything anybody says at any time. So, but if you're being paid to give your opinion, if you're being paid to talk, the employer has to kind of give it some slack, whether they agree or disagree with you, unless it gets too hot under the collar for them. And then they can fire you if they so choose. I mean, that's part of the deal. There's no guarantee that you have that job forever. That's my point. But I'd rather have been fired for that than because, oh, we have a corporate takeover, oh, we're going to have syndication, oh, we're changing the format, yada, 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 that kind of crap, which is what happened to me. It happens to a lot of people, so I'm not being, oh, well, it was me. It's the nature of the business. But people who get fired for flapping their lips and saying something offensive, it's more justifiable to get fired that way. So I get that. I'm not so sure it rose to that level, though, in her case. Because, so what? She said Hillary Clinton was tone deaf. And again, I'm a fan of Hillary Clinton's, but you can pose that question. And you shouldn't feel there's going to be retribution breathing down your neck, at least. I don't think so. But apparently, because she was warned ahead of time, and she's no big great name, I guess, they figured they could do it, and they did it. And she's gone. So I don't know. You have any opinion on that? Let me know. Twitter feed is AB Rice. Phone line is 347-857-4505. Facebook page, pop in the chat box, also open for the show. So have at us. Big talk, of course, last Sunday. In the midst of all the devastation going on in Puerto Rico, President Trump takes to Twitter and takes on the NFL and this kneeling when the national anthem is being played, which started with Colin Kaepernick, who apparently is a sidelined quarterback. He doesn't have a job now, and a lot of people think it's because he took this political stance last year, and it has caught on a little bit. But now it's caught on big time, because now, because of Trump, even the owners are getting involved, because he's saying, and he went to this rally last week in Alabama, that the owners should fire these SOBs, calling them SOBs. And Colin Kaepernick's mother tweeted out with something like saying, well, I guess that makes me a proud bitch, which I thought was great. It's a little outrageous what he's doing. First of all, the distraction tactics which he takes, and he said to, actually said to somebody, this has really caught on, and it's going to be good for me kind of thing. He does this to stoke his base, and sometimes the base buys it. I don't know if people buy it. I don't know. I didn't really weigh in too much on it. I wasn't following it that closely because I don't watch football. A friend of mine on Facebook wrote, I never gave a bleep about football before, and now I really don't give a bleep about it. So, yeah, it depends how, you know, what you feel. Other people are miffed and do take the side that Trump is on, maybe not as fervently or as obnoxiously as he is, but say that it is unpatriotic to do it. The point is, patriotism cuts both ways. I mean, wrapping yourself in the flag, is sort of people use that as an immunity against any criticism, because if I'm patriotic, how can you fault me for that kind of thing? As opposed to the idea that what patriotism is about, what we are about here is freedom of speech. And you can say what you want, and you have the freedom to protest. So doing that is a form of patriotism, too, saying, and there are other people who salute the flag and do the kneeling. They want to do both because they want to show I'm paying tribute to the flag and the country. But, yes, I do also understand what this protest is about. And, by the way, what is the protest about? It is about injustice. It's about Black Lives Matter. It's about police brutality and bringing a highlight to that. Some people say it's the wrong venue. I know there's some hyperbolic cable TV people who were shouting at the screen. They love to shout on Fox News and other places. Kate Oberman loved to do it too on the liberal side, so it's not just conservatives. But and you can get passionate. I know, I was talking to my sister on the phone yesterday, and I was making a point with her about something, personal matter, not politics, although I have some politics. And she said, don't shout at me. I'm not shouting. Well, don't talk passionately. I mean, so, yeah, sometimes you raise your voice, you know. But some of these people do it for effect. And they just get out of control. You know, this idea that these people are paid, because these people are well-paid athletes, they have no right to, you know, in other words, like bite the hand that feeds them, so to speak. You're lucky. You're making a bunch of money for playing a game. This is the argument. So don't protest. That makes no sense to me. That's a disconnect. Famous people have every much of a right, and successful people, to protest, to dissent, to speak their minds as people who are not in that position. And because you have a bigger platform, you know, when they say celebrities shouldn't say anything, well, of course they have a right to say it. We all have a right to say it. The point is that you might hear them on a more bigger megaphone than a person on the street corner. But everybody has a right now to say whatever, always had a right, but now everybody can have a platform if they want to have a platform. Start a blog, start a podcast, do what you want. You know, you will probably have a smaller audience than some of these people, but whatever. You know, they have just because they have an instant big audience doesn't mean they don't have the right, or they happen to be on a larger stage like the NFL games. Bigger platform, is it the right platform? Somebody could argue, no, maybe it's not the right place to do it. I say, yeah, I don't know if it's the right place or not, but they have a right to do it, and they have a right to be exercise that right. You have a right to say it's not good. Yes, again, it's both. It's a two-sided. That's the whole point of being here in this country. Let's not lose sight of that, because we have a president who really can't stand any kind of dissent against him. He can say what he wants about anybody and people in lesser positions than he is in, but nobody can say anything bad about him, or they're horrible people. They're deplorable. They're disgusting. They're losers. And that's just not right, and we have to stand up for that. So, of course, because he's saying those things, it sort of makes everybody else want to join hands and say, no, don't tell us that we have to fire people who are exercising their rights to protest. That's kind of outrageous. So I don't know about you. I'm not into football, as we all know. But President Trump certainly got my backfield in motion. Reach out. Twitter feed is Baby Ryan. Phone line 347-857-4505.
on, sit down, get down. Come on, sit down, get down. The show is a sitting here. Show is a sitting here. Come on, sit down, get down. Come on, sit down, get down. The show is a sitting here.
When you cry in the night, you know I
caught in your loving eyes. And as we make love in the dark and wait for the big surprise, and the old man will come through, son or daughter, just for you. Mama's arms gonna keep you warm like no other arms can do. And you know that it's true when you can't find a light at the top of the stairs. When you cry in the night, you know I'll be there. Feel the light of the day, it's as bright as it seems. And you know in your heart, we're living the rest of the day.
Living the rest of the dream on the Amy Beth Erkley Show, a pair of John Hyatunes, the man himself, and a song he penned way back when, charted with Three Dog Night, and sure as I'm sitting here. Backfield in Motion, too, from Ellen Tim, a not-so-forgotten 45, this time for Katie and Sylvie, both on the Twitter feed, claiming it to be their song. Sylvie saying, hey, listening live, I love your commentary, how'd you know that was my song? And Katie saying, yeah, you're playing it for me, love it, AB, thank you. Well, I knew it was your song, guys, because I don't know too many football songs, and it's the shortest one we got. Deacon Blues is the other one. That may be too long, although we have that one queued up in case, too. That's why. But I appreciate it, ladies. Thanks for chiming in. Leonora says, hey, great to have you live back. Love the show. Please do it 5 days a week. Hey, Leonora, did you miss the beginning? I'm barely making it on 1 or 2 days a week, but we'll see. We have goals, and our producer, Trudy Hart, is pushing me, so we'll see if we can get there. Vicky on Twitter says, you know, I am not one bit upset that Will and Grace has gone political for the first episode. They have a platform, and they're using it. Exactly, Vicky. It was good. I like that show. A lot of Trump jokes. I don't think they're going to do it every single week, I hope, because it might get old. But and the ending was great, by the way. Not to give it away. Go watch it. I don't want to give away the cute little ending there. They got that chemistry thing, and you got to love it for that purpose, indeed. A few more folks. Do we have them, Trudy, on the we do have some folks on the tax thing, right? Nick says, the Trump tax scam revealed. Once again, we find out that the emperor has no clothes. Trump lies every time he opens his mouth. Ouch. Well, it's vague anyway. And every time he says, believe me, I think you can't. I'm not going to benefit, believe me. Ron Ansana, who is the one of the CNBC moguls, says, does Trump benefit from proposed tax cut? Let me count the ways. Phil, give us a link to his details if you want them. You'll find them. We'll, you know, it's just, it's, I, yeah. yeah, I don't know. It's going to not be good. And, of course, it's going to be a battle royale in the Congress. Dr. Dindi retweeted Nancy Pelosi, who said, what happened to the GOP's deficit hawks? Looking at the disastrous Ryan McConnell tax plan, it seems they are nowhere to be found. And impeached Donald Trump writes, FYI, a middle-class family with four children will lose at least $4,900 of tax benefits under Trump tax scam. Again, not sure of the details on this, so I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. They're talking about doubling the individual, both individual and joint filing family deduction, so a single person automatically will have $12,000 tax-free, a joint couple will have $24,000. That's a help, but is it offset by other things you're taking away? That's the question. That's where the devil in the details thing comes in. And we just don't know, but it doesn't sound great, at least not yet. I don't know. Let's go on to other questions. This one of a more personal nature. We're going to pose from time to time what I call the big question, for you about your own life or your own influences. And the first one I thought about was, what is the person, the thing, or the endeavor that lures you back in despite your better judgment and your past experience? And I have a couple. One, of course, is Radioland. I mean, despite being kicked around a few times, I am lured back into Marconi's box and now, of late, Marconi's great-great-granddaughter's box because there's something magical about it. It calls to me. I love this platform. I love talking to you. I love connecting with people. And playing music and talking about ideas, regardless of how many times you get fired or how many knocks you take or what happens. It's a love-hate deal, but it's a love, the love overrides, that's for sure. And the other, of course, is a blank page. I mean, as devastating and excruciating as that can be sometimes, it's equally exhilarating to face that page and populate it with people and places and plot twists. It just makes you come alive. And I will say, thrilled, you talk about writer's block, overcoming it with a new story, a fresh story. That's going to be part of a Dozy Cat Press anthology, I believe, will be coming out at the end of around Christmas time. We'll give you details when it comes out. Totally new story. A lot of fun writing it. Whimsical. That's kind of a lucky theme. But nobody gets bumped off in this one. I don't kill anybody off. But really a thrill to finish it and be happy with something that you write. So there's all that. It's excruciating to get it done. It's exhilarating when it is done. It's fun in the process often, as frustrating as it can be. So if you find something you love, you keep going back to it time and time again, despite some of the bad stuff, some of the rejections and the problems that you have with it. So I'm asking you, what's your thing that you keep getting lured back into? Think about that. Let me know via Twitter, AB Writes, or you know, hop over to that website. It's AmyBethArkawy, ArkAwy.com. Do that. Inspiration, Action, Challenge, Success Stories are over there, too. Melanie in Groton, Connecticut says she's embarking on a memoir. Not sure how I'm going to do it. Got lots to dredge up. Not sure if I'm up to the task, but I feel more confident already just by doing the challenge steadily for a while. I'll keep you updated if it works. Please do, Melanie. Keep at it. Be kind to yourself and keep journaling while you're doing it. I think it may work for you. By the way, if the Inspiration Action Challenge is working for you, or if you need a nudge to get going, let's start a creativity coaching counseling conversation. Both of those things can be had at the website amybetharkowy.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed, because we're all about people loving and helping people.
Forgiveness at the store and peace at the politician's war. You won't find no resolution in the bottom of a bottle, in the stars of Aristotle. The only answer to the problem is people. Love is people. That's the enemy of everything that's evil. And no question at the end of the needle. It's just people loving people. Whoa, 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 whoa. Words aren't what they seem to be. Talk is cheap, but lies are free. We feel what we don't understand, and we've been there since time began. Around us on a spindle, it's a complicated riddle. The solution is so simple. It's people, loving people. That's the enemy of everything that's evil. And a question at the end of the needle. It's just people. Oh, just people loving people.
Stop thinking so negative, son.
This is how you make yourself vanish into nothing. And this is how you make yourself worthy of the love that she gave to you back when you didn't own a beautiful thing. And this is how you make yourself call your mother. And this is how you make yourself closer to your brother. Remember him back when he was small enough to help you sing. You thought God was an architect. Now you know he's something like a pipe bomb ready to blow. And everything you built, it's all for show, goes up in flames in 24 frames. Every
frames. Americana master Jason Isbell on the Amy Beth Arkui Show. Nikki, you're Forgotten 45. We got it for you. Son of a Preacher Man from Dusty Springfield. And Stagecoach doing the great Garth Brooks song, People Loving People. Simple as that. That's why we're here. Lift each other up and encourage each other, right? Indeed. Hey, thanks for coming with us on this early call. Love the interaction. One final one from Faye, who chimes in. Grifter's going to grift. I love it. She retweets Ali Velshi from MSNBC on the Tom Price business. He says, so it turns out HHS Secretary Price is reimbursing the government for the commercial equivalent of his seat, $51,000, not the actual cost of using private jets, which I think values at over $500,000. So there you go. Grifter's going to grift. I got to use that, Faye. I'm stealing it. I love it. It's perfect. Says it all, doesn't it? Indeed. Hey, thanks to the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, MLA headquarters for keeping us moving. Indeed, reach out. It's a 24/7 thing on social media. Friend me on Facebook. You can follow our producer, Trudy Hart. Are you updating the feed, Trudy, at Radio Trudy? And also over at my Twitter feed, AB Writes 24/7. When I say 24/7, you can chime in 24/7. I don't respond 24/7, but I will respond. I do. Just not necessarily 4 o'clock in the morning. But you never know. You get the deal. Hey, don't forget, all the shows are archived for podcasts. You can follow the Amy Beth Arkui Show. If you miss any of it, want to hear them again, do so at the BTR site, Stitcher, Mixcloud. Downloaded episodes at iTunes and NetNow, and also Select Editions, PopNet, Arts Radio Network. All roads leading back to our website, amybetharkui.com. And you can chime in for your guest suggestions. Big story, don't forget, big story requests, big question answers. Talk about the person or thing or endeavor that lures you back every time, despite your best efforts and judgment and experience. And we'll talk about that on future shows, indeed. And you can also check out my stories, the Eliza Gordon Mysteries, other goodies all up for grabs. So take it easy, drive safe, play nice, dream big. Let's take in the autumnal season. Can't believe September's almost over. Here's the classic from Earth, Wind, and Fire. Come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkui Show. Love y'all.